Hey, what's up? Hello. Welcome to Sounds Fake But Okay, a podcast where an Arrow Ace girl, I'm Sarah, that's me.
And a bi-demisexual girl, that's me, Kayla.
Talk about everything to do with love, relationships, sexuality, and pretty much anything else we just don't understand.
On today's episode, compulsory heterosexuality.
Sounds fake, but okay. Welcome back to the pod.
I'm in my bed.
Kayla's in her bed. It's a bedcast. Not for me, though.
Not for you, though. There's three extra people in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them are sleeping in my office. And they're not sleeping in there yet. But I don't want to be in there if they want to sleep.
Right.
And also, like, their luggage is in there. So I'm like, I don't want to be right. All up in your space. You know what I mean? It's not my space anymore.
Yeah.
You've taken it, so.
Yeah.
I'm in my bed now.
Okay. Well, our housekeeping is that this is the last pod before we go on a little breaky break.
It's over. Last episode ever.
Last episode ever. All caps.
What if we... title. What if that's what we did? What if when we were finally done with this podcast, we're like, yeah, we're just going on like summer break. And then we just fell off the face of the earth.
Kind of like what One Direction did.
Yeah.
I'm going to a One Direction club night this weekend.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. But yeah, that is exactly what One Direction did. They're like, we're going on hiatus. And then they never came.
One day when we stop this, I would like us to do it in the most dramatic fashion possible. I think it should be an event.
Our last podcast.
It should be an event.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
But yes, this is our last pod. We're going to take a couple weeks off, and then we'll be back on a date, which I will tell you as soon as I can pull it up on my calendar, we will be back on August 27th.
It's true. We will. So,
prepare your ears. Uh-huh. Who's this person? Why is this person's birthday in my calendar? I don't know who you are.
Do you ever smell the inside of your nose?
No.
You're like, I can smell it.
I think this is a person my boss knows. Why is it in my calendar?
Maybe it's a nose ring thing, but like, I can smell what my nose smells like.
It might be. If there's a metal in your nose, you know.
I can smell what my nose smells like.
Anyway, this is what you're going to be missing the next month.
So what are you going to do without it? I mean,
you can listen to our old podcasts. You can read our book and listen to our book podcasts. You can do nothing.
That's true. Did you guys know we wrote a book? I feel like we haven't talked about it in a minute, but we have a book and you should probably buy it.
Maybe. And just an update for everyone. We did figure out we are going to get paid. I mean, we didn't ever think we weren't going to get paid.
But now we figured out. And by figured out, Sarah means I reread our contract.
Kayla read the contract.
And it was funny rereading it because it's not like we didn't understand it when we signed it. Like we knew, we got it.
Yeah.
But there was like a lot of words in there that like didn't really mean anything to me at the time. But now, several years later, after having done a bunch of book stuff, I'm like, oh. Like, not to say I didn't get the contract when I signed it, but, like, now I get it more.
You get it better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So I reread it, and I understood a lot more.
I love that for you.
Of my rights. And we are going to get paid, which we always knew. But now we know when.
We know when. Anyway,
now I remember. And we always knew, had we just reread the contract.
We just neglected to.
We just didn't do that. Which I think is fine.
Anyway, shall we talk about a podcast?
Oh, we're going to talk about a podcast.
Shall we podcast?
Yeah, which one do you want to talk about?
I think we should talk about Normal Gossip because I've really gotten into it.
I have talked about this podcast to Sarah for so long and she finally started and she was like, when are we going to be guests on
it? It wasn't even because of you that I started. It was because of
just like
Jen from the Golden Ratio.
You know what? I get how you feel now about K-pop.
Yeah. Yeah. Kayla, would you like to... Okay, I'm sorry. This really shouldn't go at the beginning of the podcast, but I don't care. Kayla, would you like to tell the kids what you've done?
Okay, it's I haven't even done it yet. I've just thought about doing it. But I've heard a couple songs by Stray Kids, and I like them. So I was like, oh, there's a cat. And so I was like, oh, it might be time to get into K-pop. And the reason I heard a Stray Kids song at all was because of Julian, Jenna Marbles' husband, was playing some of their songs on screen.
Julian, comma, Jenna Marbles' husband. Julian Marbles.
I just feel like that's probably how most people know him.
Yeah.
To me, he's my father and my son and my boyfriend and my husband and my Holy Spirit and my Jesus Christ. But mm-hmm. I know he's not that to everyone. Anyway, he was playing some on stream and I was like, oh, bops. And I was like, maybe it's time to become a stay. And Sarah was like, if you become a K-pop stay because of Julian and instead of me.
Also, here's the thing. I don't consider myself a stay, but a stay being a fan of Stray Kids.
Stray Kids, yes.
But I have a lot of friends who are, and it's one of those things where it's just like one of these days I'll fully fall down the rabbit hole. I just haven't
one
yet.
One day.
And I have nothing against them. I am just if you get into Stray Kids through Julian Solomita, when I have had BTS tattooed across my forehead for several years, I will kill myself.
That's fair. However, I did give you the opportunity to make me a small BTS playlist, and you have
and
not
I got
done
over-
so yet.
I got overwhelmed by it, so you will be receiving that in
a year, perhaps.
300 business days.
Okay. Well, I just want to say it's out of my hands now. I gave you the opportunity to turn me. So you really can't complain anymore.
Anyway, this week we're talking about compulsory heterosexuality.
Sarah was like, okay, we really need, here's some silly topics we could talk about, but we should really do like a serious one before we leave. And I think that's
going
well.
Really well.
I think it's good how
Perfect.
It's going.
I mean, one of the silly topics that I did suggest was lizards, which isn't really a topic.
No, that's just...
Neither of us are informed enough about lizards for it to be a topic.
I think when their tail gets bit off, they grow a new one.
Supposedly that's what happens with our tongues, but I've also heard that's also not true.
I know someone who had part of their tongue cut out, so I guess I could ask.
Anyway, we're talking about compulsory heterosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Comp-het, as the kids say.
They do.
And we talked about compulsory sexuality just in general in the context of Sharonda J. Brown's book. If you haven't read it, if you haven't acquired
doing?
It, what have you done with your life? We talked about that last 2022. I believe it was the third quarter of 2022. Maybe the fourth quarter. I'm not sure.
I have absolutely no idea. I have no sense of that.
I only know because I was looking it up today because I wanted to make sure we hadn't talked about compulsory heterosexuality before. But I want to talk more specifically about comp-het because yeah. I feel like it's been a thing in the zeitgeist and I think we should talk about it and I have just some thoughts. They're not well formed, but I have them.
Good.
So, shall we begin by defining it?
I think that's probably good.
Okay. Compulsory heterosexuality, often shortened to comp-het, is the theory that heterosexuality is assumed and enforced upon people by a patriarchal and heteronormative society. It's
Boo.
Basically allonormativity, but for hetero.
Heterosexuality, yes.
It's heteronormativity, but... Specifically,
compulsory.
Specifically, like internal, as well.
Yes,
like
it
it's,
is.
It's,
yes,
it's not just it being enforced upon to you. It's about you in your head also enforcing it upon yourself.
Yes, because it's so ingrained that you also then not just society, but you also enforce it upon
right.
yourself.
The term was popularized by Adrienne Rich in her 1980 essay titled "Compulsory Heterosexuality and Lesbian Existence." It's really related to the lesbian story, I think. That's often the
yes.
way that it's discussed. And the
yes.
way that I've heard a lot of people talk about it online is lesbians talking about their own experience with comp-het or being like, is this compet or am I actually attracted to this person?
Yeah. I think, like, the way I hear it talked about a lot is, like, the lesbian master doc, which is, like...
I have that open on my computer right now.
I have never read it, actually, but...
Well, because when I looked up compet, the first thing that came up was compet Google Doc. So...
Yeah.
I actually have that pulled up in front of me as we speak.
How long is it?
It's in, like, website form, so I don't know. Because it is a Google Doc, but it's, like, a published thing.
Yeah.
But it's just very interesting. You know, it says compulsory is the opposite of optional. Women are taught from a very early age that making men happy is our job. So what happens if you want to be with women, and what happens if you're not attracted to men at all? When you're trained from childhood to see romantic and sexual relationships with men and only men as major life goals, how do you separate that from what you want? Compulsory heterosexuality is the voice in my head that says, I must really be het even when I'm in love with a woman. It's what forces lesbians to struggle through learning the difference between what you've been taught you want, being with men, and what you do want, being with women, which is why so many lesbians have dated men at some point. Blah, 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 blah. How do I know if I'm a lesbian? Blah, 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 blah. This was the thing that I found interesting and I think really relates to the way that I've heard people talk about it, which is, but I like fictional men / male celebrities.
Yeah.
Because I feel like so often I hear people being like, maybe this is just because I operate in, like, BTS Twitter circles, is like, that's a whole other thing, which I've dipped a tiny toe into on this podcast, but, but, like, people are like, oh, like, am I actually attracted to this man? Like, am I actually? Or am I just, like, think I'm assigning this to them, you know?
Yeah.
And so this, the lesbian master doc, says, lesbians are allowed to like male celebrities and fictional characters. It's usually a symptom of compulsory heterosexuality. Male celebrities / fictional characters are completely unobtainable crushes, and thus it allows the lesbian in question to distance themselves from men. Because it's impossible to ever be with that person, they get to avoid the romance and intimacy, which is usually something that girls can recognize they don't want with men, but can't exactly place why or what it means. Even if the attraction to male celebrities / fictional characters is not an effect of compulsory heterosexuality, which would be really hard to figure out, it's not fair that straight women can have, quote, girl crushes and straight men can have man crushes without anyone telling them they can't be or aren't straight anymore, so the reverse should not be applied to lesbians. I think it's interesting to use the term symptom. It's a symptom of compulsion.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
That word, I was bumping on that word a little bit. And it's just so interesting because, like, when I hear people talk about this, when I read stuff like this, it's exactly the same as the asexual experience. Yeah. It's just directed in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, the A-spec experience is just a little bit broader in that it's like, oh, I am not experiencing attraction at all, or I'm not experiencing attraction consistently, or blah, 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 blah. Whereas this is a situation that's like specifically not about men and is about being attracted to women. But I was thinking about this in the car as I was driving home.
Oh, in the car.
In the car. And... It just reminds me of, you know, when you hear A-spec people talk about not being able to tell, like, romantic and sexual attraction apart from, like, platonic attraction or, like, squishes. And I feel like that's essentially what a lot of times, like, liking men or male celebrities in the context of compet is. Because it's just like, oh, I really like this person. I assume that it must be, like, actual certain type of attraction because that's what I'm told that it should be. So you just assign that, even if it's not necessarily. And it parallels to me so much of, like, my own personal experience, just, like, in a parallel universe.
Yeah, because I think, I don't know, what was I going to say? Hold on.
She doesn't think.
Shut up. Oh, like, along the lines of, like, you talking about trying to figure out the difference between, like, is it a squish? Do I have a crush on this person? Is it sexual attraction? Especially for, I feel like, when you're trying to figure out if you are a spec.
Mm-hmm.
I think, especially when you're a woman, when you are drawn to a man in some way, you just automatically assume, like, oh, well, it must be a crush, because that's right. what you're taught to assume.
Yeah.
But you don't have that assumption for women. You're like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm very drawn to this other woman. Like, I must, like, your automatic assumption is, like, we're going to be best friends. Like, it doesn't.
We're going to be besties.
I feel like automatically cross your mind, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know for you, you've talked about, like, when you were trying to figure out your romantic orientation, you were like, well, but, like, maybe these things I've experienced have been crushes in the past. Like, I'm not sure. But were any of those women?
No.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm, like,
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. It's, like,
yeah.
it's so much easier, not easier, but it's just so much, it happens so much more often where that confusion happens with, like, the opposite gender, because that's yeah. the roles we're taught.
Your brain just doesn't assign, yeah, your brain just doesn't assign that thinking process, that thought process to women in the same way that it defaults to that with men when you are a woman.
Well, and for me specifically as, like, a demisexual person and coming into, like, biromanticism, and I wrote about this, I contributed to a bi zine a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it's called.
By All Means?
By All Means, yes. I contributed to the zine, and I kind of, like, adapted the episode we did on, like, being biromantic and demisexual. But part of what I talked about in my submission was that, say me and Dean broke up, or say, like, I started dating women, I don't even know how I would go about that as a demisexual person, because for me, interacting with men, it's very clear for me to see, like, okay, this is a man
mm-hmm.
I, like, have a crush on. This is a man who I'm just friends with. I can feel it growing into, like, more. I can feel it getting into the territory of, like, sexual attraction. And there's a lot of women in my life that I've been very emotionally close with, but that sexual attraction has never, like, really come with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, is that because I wasn't attracted to them, or because I wasn't, like, in the headspace to allow that to happen? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Because I wasn't, like, in the dating headspace because I didn't think I was attracted to women.
Right. Or, like, was it just that you weren't attracted in that way to that particular woman? Like, it's
right.
It's so, like, complicated.
How do you know? Because I, like, when I was growing up, I was taught how to interface with men in, like, a dating and a romantic way.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't taught that for women. So it's like, how do you, like, I don't even, how do I be close to a woman in a way that is not, you know what I mean? I'm
yeah.
like, I've had so many female friendships in my life that are, like, emotionally close. And the thing about demisexuality is, like, oh, you become sexually attracted to someone when you're emotionally close to them. And it's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
but, like, what's the difference, you know? For men, it's just like, you know?
When does close friendship become sapphic?
Like- right. And, like, for some, I couldn't explain when close friendship becomes attraction with men. Like, I just know it. I just, like, know it. I couldn't explain it. But,
right.
like, I have close guy friends that I'm not attracted to. But it just is that way
mm-hmm.
because that's the way I was taught, but I wasn't taught that with women. So now right. I'm like, huh? Do you see what I mean?
I
don't.
I think I see what you mean.
All I'm saying is if I ever date women, it's going to be a confusing time for everyone, I think.
Yeah. And as you asked the question about me, like, being like, oh, is this a crush? Like, if that had ever happened with a woman. And it's interesting because, like, you know when you, like, take those, like, quizzes, they're like, how gay am I? There was one that I took in the past couple weeks that it was, like, an axis. So on one side,
that's fun.
Yeah. So on one side, it was only attracted to men, only attracted to women. And then the other axis was allo to ace.
Oh, fun.
And obviously, I was very much in the ace direction, but I leaned a lot more in the women direction than I expected to.
Interesting.
Like, it wasn't, like, all the way. Like, it wasn't, you know, but, like,
yeah.
it leaned a lot more in that direction than I expected to, which, like, looking back on it, makes sense. Men are scary. Why are
they
dicks?
Are.
Dicks? No. But the fact that that surprised me, I mean, granted, it's a silly quiz, but, like, the fact that that surprised me, I think, had a lot to do with the fact that, like, the what, like, two times I was like, oh, was that a crush? It was with a guy.
Yeah.
It makes me rethink, like, would I have thought that same way if that male friend was a female friend? And I don't know.
Yeah. I don't, because we're just not taught to think that way. Like, it's an unlearning process, like, to even see, and maybe it's, like, different for people that are younger who are, like, are in more, like, open areas, I guess. But, like, for me, I didn't really learn about gay people or was not around gay, openly gay people. I wasn't around openly gay people until college. Like, there's people that I knew in high school that came out after high school.
Right.
So, like, for me, it wasn't even an option. It wasn't, right, like, a thing I was even thinking about, like, as a thing. So then it's, like, of course, if you don't think of it as an option, you're not going to be, like, looking for it.
Right.
Or question it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I well, and in this lesbian Google Doc, there's a section, and it's talking about, like, signs of compulsory heterosexuality. So, under the attraction to men section, it says, like, deciding which guys to be attracted to, not to date, but to be attracted to based on how well they match a mental list of attractive qualities.
That's such an A-spec thing to do.
That's exactly what I thought as I was reading this.
That's what makes, like, compet and comp, like, aloe go together so well, is, like, you think about
compet A-specs. Is just a more specific type of comp aloe.
Yeah. So I think a lot of A-specs have had the experience of, like, picking a crush to fit in, right? I would love to see data on, like, did you pick a crush that made you straight? Or did you pick a crush that made you not straight? You know?
Almost. Or, like, I mean, I only ever picked crushes that made me straight.
Right. And I wonder if it would be, like, if it would change depending on who you were, like, faking it for. Like, if you're in a group of straight friends, would you be like, oh, I too am a straight? If you're in a group of queer friends, would you be more likely to, like, quote unquote, make yourself queer? You know what I mean?
That's a really interesting question that I had actually never thought about before. Because, and I think that is also a symptom of compet, because in my brain,
because in my mind,
I was like, I always assumed I would say a straight crush. Like, I was never in a situation where it would be, because it would be a whole event if I made up a crush that was a girl, because that would be a thing, because then it would
and
be
the
like,
event
oh, shit,
is
you're
what
gay.
You're, yeah, the event is what you're trying to avoid.
To avoid.
By making up a crush,
So, yeah, that's really interesting. But some other stuff under the attraction to men signs. I like the idea of being with a man, but anytime a man makes a move on me, I get incredibly uncomfortable. I do not like the reality of men, only the idea of being with men. I like the idea of marrying a man or being in a relationship with a man, but I can always pick out a reason to not want to date any man that is interested in me or any man suggested to me. These reasons are sometimes reasonable, but often insignificant. The examples it gives are, I don't like guys who do their hair like that. He has a weird mole on his face and he's too tall.
See, I don't know. I've heard a lot of straight women who are definitely straight who have given those reasons for not liking a man. But
yeah. I can fantasize about men and find men attractive, but thinking about realistically being with a man makes my stomach turn. All of these things, if you replace man with person,
yes,
is just huge A-spec vibes.
Yeah, all of this feels like very familiar in an A-spec way, which makes sense, I guess, right? Like, this doc is like, you aren't attracted to men. And the A-spec version would be like, you are not attracted to anyone. So, like, it makes sense.
But it makes sense. But it also just, like, reminds you of, like, the real connection between A-spec identities and other queer identities. I think really especially lesbians. Like, sometimes the gays are, like, in their own little world. Like, the male gays. The male gays.
The male gays.
Not their gays.
Do Do you remember in college where we would play the game of which one am I saying?
Yes.
Good game.
And I feel like there is such a strong connection between lesbians and aspecs, and obviously there are people who are both. And I think that also is informed as well by a disproportionate amount of female-identifying people or female socialized people,
yeah,
identifying as aspec. But it's just like another just like drop in the bucket of like, yeah, we do belong here because it's the same fucking experience. It's the fucking same.
Yeah.
But yeah, as the more I was thinking about it, the more I was just like, wow, this is just, this is, compat is allonormativity, but directed more specifically at men. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. It's, yeah, a lot of it is so similar. It's just, yes, directed towards a more specific experience.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, it goes on to, like, under signs of compulsory heteronormativity, relationships with men. You know, getting a boyfriend, mostly so other people know you have a boyfriend and not really being interested in him romantically or sexually. After a breakup, missing having a boyfriend more than you miss the specific guy you were with.
T.
Worrying that you're broken inside and unable to really love anyone.
Oop.
Oop. Sex and intimacy with men. Having sex not out of desire for the physical pleasure or emotional closeness, but because you like feeling wanted.
I mean, I feel like that's a lot of what compet is about, is that we as women are brought up to want male attention. Like, that is what you are taught mm-hmm. is validating. Like, if a boy doesn't have a crush on you, or like you're not getting the attention, then like something must be wrong with you. And so, like, I feel like even for women who are, like, very secure in their, like, lesbian identity, like, sometimes it's like, oh, yay, a male, like, you know, like, it's just somehow it still feels good when a man, like, praises you or wants you, because that's just, like, so deeply ingrained in, like,
yeah,
what we're supposed to want.
There's a line here that says, thinking that you don't like or pursue sex with men because you must be asexual or vice versa with romance for men. That is wild. I'm sure that has happened to someone somewhere, but I would love to exist in a world where asexuality is so well known.
I actually have seen a lot of TikToks lately.
Really?
Of people either saying that, like, they had such a terrible boyfriend that they thought they must be asexual, but it turned out he was just, like, a terrible person they weren't attracted to.
Yeah.
Or that they turned out to be a lesbian. I have actually, yeah. I have actually seen this on TikTok several
really
times.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Men
I feel
do
like
better.
Men do better. Like, asexuality is obviously not, like, a gateway or, like, a passing through community. But I do feel like there are a good amount of people who do pass through asexuality.
Some people use it as a stepping stone.
Yeah.
In the same way that some people will use the the identity as bisexual as a stepping stone to lesbian. Some people might actually truly believe that they're bisexual, and then that shifts and change, and then they're like, actually, no, now I am lesbian. But some people just kind of use it as a transition to, you know, get themselves used to it and feel more comfortable with it. And, like, asexuality can be that, I think, for some people as well.
Yeah.
And that's,
well, I think a lot of the reason that happens with bisexuality is because of compet. Like, in a way, it is easier to say that you are bisexual. It is more like, if you think about it in like a coming out to your family terms, your family gets to be like, oh, you could still be with a man. Not that any of this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all very fucked up, but like, it makes sense that in a compet way, it is easier to tell yourself maybe like, oh no, but I do still like men. Like, that is still a possibility. And the more you kind of unlearn compet and stuff, you might realize, like, okay, the male part of my bisexuality was not attraction, but these other things.
Right.
Obviously, though, bisexuality and asexuality are real things. But for some people,
spoken by a bi and an ace person.
who would have thought?
Just but wanted to put it on the record.
Just say, but like, just because things are like, can be passing through identities for people, just, I feel like that's an argument people make of like, oh, it's not real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a gateway, whatever. Like, no, it can be both. And that's fine.
Yeah. That's like saying that, like, Christianity is a gateway drug to Mormonism. Like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense.
It do- you're straight up. It doesn't. There's no logic like the, there.
But like that, like if you went from being like agnostic to Lutheran, and then you became Mormon after that, and someone was like, "Well, you just use Lutheranism."
Well, as, yeah, but also no one does that.
No one does that. Listen, I'm.
It's also not a good analogy because that's not how.
Give me a better one. Give me a better one.
Okay, hold on. I'm thinking, like vegetarian to vegan. Because some people will be like, before they go vegan, they'll just be vegetarian.
I don't
know. And it's like, but that doesn't make being a vegetarian any, like, less good.
No, but I don't think that's quite the same.
Okay, well, it's better than yours.
Because it's... it makes more sense than mine, but I don't think it's better.
Okay. It's like...
I think it's they like get how, it.
No. It's like how people will start, when they start drinking coffee, they'll drink like the very sugary drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually people will transition to just drinking like black coffee. But that doesn't mean no one actually likes the sugary drinks.
Yeah. Well,
uh-huh.
But sometimes those people like don't drink black coffee at first because they don't like it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
There is no good analogy. Anyway, can I read you this little bit that I just made me giggle yes. in the lesbian Google Doc? This is in the sex and intimacy with men section about signs of compat. Is your fantasies about men still somehow turn out to be a little gay? maybe you're penetrating him, you don't have to look at his face or don't want to look at his face, you want a threesome with another woman, he's very feminine, etc. It might be a quote-unquote straight fantasy, but you've altered it in a way straight people might not be totally interested in, which I think is very interesting. That's
funny.
And less in line with the average ASPEC experience, but very interesting.
Yeah, I can't really imagine an ace.
Yeah.
Analogy to that, but...
Yeah. I also... There's this other article that was... says, like, how do I know if I'm naturally attracted or is it compulsory heterosexuality? And one of the things they said is, have you felt urges to branch out sexually but stopped because you felt guilty? And I feel like
that... I don't
that,
get that. Guilty like, about what?
That it's wrong. That it's... That it is...
Not
even necessarily... Like, it could mean, like, that it's wrong in general, but it could also just mean... that it is wrong for you. You know?
I see. Yes.
Like, it doesn't have to be, like, a religious...
Morally,
you're going to hell. More so, like, this is not... It's not me.
Because you don't
think it should be you because you have been taught to believe that you must be a het.
Yes. Well, it's also just, like, seems like a very scary thing. Because once you, like, take a step into, like, trying to figure out your sexuality, there's not, like, a ton going back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also a hard first step to take. Because, like...
Yeah.
Once you dip your little toe in. Mm-hmm. Unless you would decide, like, ah, just kidding. I was wrong.
Yeah.
You're kind of in it now.
Yeah. I'm now on the Wikipedia page for compat.
Wow.
And there's a section. Oh, it's bringing in white hegemony. That's very true. Like compulsory white heterosexuality.
Oh yes.
Very valid.
I think that's a lot.
A lot of that is in Sharonda's book.
Yeah.
But it says there's a section called factors, and it says manifestations of male power. The idea being compat, states that male dominance in a patriarchal society is a major factor in enforcing compulsory female heterosexuality, that in order to serve men's needs, heterosexuality requires men to force women into heterosexual relationships and marriage under a patriarchal society. Kathleen Goff? It's like Van Gogh, but without the van, and British people call him Van Gogh. Anyway. Mm. Kathleen Goff argues that there are eight characteristics of male power in archaic and contemporary societies, which are rejecting women's sexuality, forcing male sexuality upon women, exploiting women's labor, controlling or robbing women of their children, confining women physically, using women as objects for male transactions, denying women their creativity, and denying women from knowledge and cultural attainments.
You know what this makes me think of?
What?
You know how we're having, like, I feel like a renaissance recently of, like, gay media?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have, like, your Heartstopper and your Red, White, and Royal Blue movie mm-hmm. and all of this stuff. But then every lesbian television show gets canceled after one season. I've been thinking a lot recently about, like, why that is. Like, what is it about lesbian relationships
mm-hmm.
that is, like, so different from gay male relationships
is happening? Man.
And that's, like, that's the only thing I've come down on is that, like, it's okay when it's two men, mm-hmm. but then you see two women being independent together, and it's like, well, hold on now.
Yeah, and if it's in a way that's not fetishizing or not, like...
Yes.
If it is in a way that is not for the male gaze, which, if it is a sapphic relationship, it shouldn't be for the male gaze. Men can enjoy watching content about it, but it is not for their gaze in a sexual way.
It's just like, even in spaces where, like, so many people still, like, frown upon queerness, even then it's like, well, if you have to do it, at least just have the men do what they want. You know what I mean? Like, okay, fine, if you have to go be gay,
right,
just let the men do it, because men know better, so they'll do it right, or whatever.
Or for the girlies, it's just a little phase. They're just experimenting. Yeah.
It's just like, bro.
Yeah. This is a long Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what I think is aphobic? In the see also section, we have biphobia, mm-hmm. bisexual erasure, heteronormativity, heterosexism, heterosociality, liberal homophobia, and monosexism.
Is there even an allonormativity Wikipedia page?
Oh, I'm sure there is. Oh, interesting. I didn't know what monosexism meant, and it brought me to the biphobia page.
It's like you should only have attraction to one type of person. Is that what it is? No, that doesn't make sense.
Actually, imadanormativity has its own page because of our girl, mm-hmm. Elizabeth Brake.
Yeah.
Allonormativity does not have its own Wikipedia page.
Someone
it has like a definition page.
Yeah.
But not like an actual page.
Somebody get on it.
See also acephobia. Acephobia doesn't have, it's just a definition.
Bruh. Someone get on it.
Acephobia, parentheses, uncountable. That's true. You cannot count all the aphobia in this world.
You know, the white hegemony. Hegemony?
Hegemony.
Hegemony?
Hegemony or hegemony, depending on who you...
Hegemony. It really does make sense, though, because, like, I just keep thinking about all of, like, the mental images I've had as we're talking about, like, scenarios and stuff. And part of it, I'm sure, is because I'm a white person, and so your mind automatically just imagines people that look like you.
Also, especially if most of the people you know are white people.
They are, unfortunately. That's
how the world is.
I guess. But it is so true. Like, there is, like, heterosexuality is seen as the quote-unquote right thing. But within that, there's also a right way to do it. Like, there's a right and a wrong way to be heterosexual.
Right.
Like, you know, being polyamorous and heterosexual is, like, not what you're supposed to do. It's supposed to be, like, a very white, very, like, the man is the leading person in the relationship. Like, there is a very right and wrong way to do it. And what Compet teaches us is that, like, it's a very white, very, like, middle class,
mm-hmm.
like... There's this, you know?
Yeah. Also, way to do it. Looking at the imadanormativity Wikipedia page, it references compulsory sexuality, but you can't even click on compulsory sexuality. Whereas compulsory heterosexuality has its own page.
What are we doing? Someone, if anyone's bored, you should really get on this.
Yeah, so, and the imadanormativity page is not robust.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like beyond Elizabeth Brake, I don't know that there's been any, like, huge work on it, so.
Yeah. But I feel like it's also just, like, such a overarching theme in A-spec communities and A-spec literature and A-spec thought that, I mean, granted, how are you going to put that in a Wikipedia page?
Well, but, I also think that, like, it's not like Wikipedia is the main place for queer people to go. Like, oh, a lot of these things are on, like, the LGBT wiki. Right. Like, that's when we've done, like, micro-label episodes. Like, that's where I get everything. So I'm sure on, like A-spec wiki and things like that, there's much more robust information.
I'm sure. But if we're looking at Wikipedia, the thing that is accessible to everyone.
Everyone,
Are there countries Wikipedia is not available? Probably.
Well, I mean, it's only available to people with internet. But
that's true.
Yes.
And people... Yeah. Hold on. Is Wikipedia blocked in any countries? Widespread censorship of Wikipedia has occurred in countries including but not limited to China, Iran, Myanmar, Pakistan, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Tunisia, Turkey, Uzbekistan, and Venezuela.
Interesting. Well,
some instances are examples of widespread internet censorship in general that includes Wikipedia content.
The more you know.
And I got this from a Wikipedia page called Censorship of Wikipedia.
I love that.
Remember when we were in like middle school and high school and they were like, Wikipedia is not a source.
It actually is a, well.
It's a good way to find sources.
That's the thing is like, Wikipedia editors are like pretty serious about there being good sources on pages. So like, yeah, maybe don't reference Wikipedia, but scroll to the bottom.
Scroll to find where they got that information from.
Yeah, it's like, it's actually good. Like, Wikipedia, everyone's always like, yeah, but you can put anything on Wikipedia. And that's not really true. Because the editors
you can try.
Are like, you can try, but the editors over there are like, not paid, but also working overtime.
Yeah.
They're wild over there.
Truly. Interesting. I'm looking at, like, the examples of when Wikipedia was censored, and a lot of them are like specific dates or specific time frames. So like it was censored in Pakistan between February 3rd and February 6th of this year.
That's so weird.
So, and then like Saudi Arabia is like 2000s through present select pages.
Huh.
Like, so they censor some of it.
Yeah.
Russia, 2010s to present, select pages promoting disinformation. Anyway.
Yes, disinformation.
You know Putin, he loves to disinform. Anyway, compet equals allonormativity, but more specifically directed, and lesbians not being able to tell if they're actually attracted to men or if they just think they should be is a very A-spec applicable experience also.
Yes. I mean, I obviously compet affects A-spec people a lot too, because it's like also a major hurdle.
It is a part of allonormativity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's one thing I do want to hit on. We've only really talked about it in the context of lesbians and women. People socialize as women. Here I am asking, no one on this call is a man.
No.
But, like, do men have as strong a compet experience as women?
I don't know. And I was thinking about that throughout the episode, because I was like, yeah, we are talking mostly about women. And I think that's often, like, it. Just in general, when people talk about compet.
Well, I think it also because it came from lesbian academic circles. Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, I don't know, because I think a lot of the stuff about what compet is like looking for that validation from men and like being taught that we need to like rely on men and that they like need to be part of our lives. But it's like, is that applicable to me? Is that like,
I mean, it could be applicable. It could be applicable in the sense of like you are looking for other men to validate your attraction to women.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious about that. That's gonna. This is over now. We're on to a poll. Okay,
it's over. Shut up, everyone. It's over.
Our poll this week is: I want to hear about how people have experienced compet in their lives, whether they just learned the term or whether they have written the entire Wikipedia page. And I'm really curious to hear from people who are socialized as men about what your experience with compet has been, because not to be like, we need to give the mic to men more. But like, I am just really curious about that experience and where it falls in comparison to lesbians with compet and just like people with allonormativity and all that jazz.
Yeah. Because truly, I have no concept of it. I'm not a man.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I've really ever talked about it with
men. Hard to imagine being one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems wild.
Kayla, what's your beef and your juice for this week?
My beef is I'm so sore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll talk about my juice also.
Okay.
Okay. So last weekend we went to New York and it was very fun, but it was a very action-filled weekend. I did my first soul cycle class.
Oh.
I did almost die.
Went all the way to New York for a soul cycle
Yeah. I just went to New York to do soul cycle at the Bryant Park location. No. But I did that.
Where all the best bikes are.
Oh, yeah. It was Taylor Swift themed, so that was fun.
That's a sign. Anyway.
And then the next day we did this silent disco, and that is my juice. Mm-hmm. But Dean's brother and his brother's girlfriend every month do this thing called What the Float. It's in LA too. You should look it up. It's very fun. Oh. But everyone gets headphones and you all listen to like the same DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just walk and dance down the street. And like the music is synced up to the location. So like it's very choreographed of like how long it takes to walk places and like when to stop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so fun. Like just like dancing in the streets and having and in the parks and in the playgrounds. And it was just so much fun. But it was like miles of walking and dancing and running. So I was very tired. And then I decided for some reason yesterday to do Pilates.
Mm-hmm.
And then today I did yoga. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I did that. Because I'm also on my period, which my other beef is that Sarah gave me my period. Sarah was texting me about
I was like, am I pregnant with Jungkook's child?
Sarah was like, I'm the Virgin Mary. I'm so late. And then as I was reading Sarah's text, I was replying. I sat down in the bathroom. And you know what I found? My period.
The bleed.
As I was like texting Sarah back, like, yeah, you're definitely pregnant. I was like, well, you know who's not definitely pregnant?
Me.
Me. I was so mad. I was like, Sarah, no fucking way. So that's my other beef is like, what the fuck, man? Anyway, I'm done now.
My juice is the movie Joyride. You can't hear that yawn.
I was yawning. I didn't ask. I was eating my microphone.
Oh, I see. I thought you were trying to yawn into the mic. And I was like, you can't hear that.
It was a silent yawn.
The movie Joyride. I think everyone should see it. My friend Nina was one of the on-set writers for the movie, and three of her jokes, at least three that I know of, made it into the movie.
Damn.
And they're very funny, and it's just a good movie. Kayla, have you seen this movie?
No, you haven't. I haven't.
I think you should, because I'm not usually like a raunchy comedy gal. Like I'm not a Bridesmaids girly. I'm not a 21 Jump Street girly.
Like 21 Jump Street isn't that raunchy. But yes, I understand.
Gonna be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever seen 21 Jump Street in full.
I actually think you would like it.
All right, anyway. Retract that statement. I'm not a Bridesmaids girly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think a lot of times too, because like raunchy comedies are like, they're raunchy because they're like, they're about, it's sex. It's about sex.
Very sexual, yeah.
Compet.
What she gonna do?
And this one, it is like a little raunchy, but also we have a character that was, honestly, my queer, non-binary, autistic army icon.
Wow. I can't believe you were in the movie.
I know.
That's so crazy that you were in the movie.
But like throughout the whole movie, they referred to this character as she. And then in the final scene, which is like a year later, they refer to them as they. And I was like,
that's going to be, it's going to be me to you in a year.
Go
just
away.
Kidding. LOL.
Anyway, Dread is a very good movie.
I think I'm so funny.
It's okay. I did cry during it, which is a sign of a good movie.
Yeah.
It's got the emo. It's good. Anyway, see Joyride. Because it's like an indie film. Support indie films. I'm also, my other juice is I'm excited for the Barbie movie.
Oh, I'm seeing it on Saturday. I have my pink outfit. I'm ready.
My cousin already saw it, and she said it was so good.
How do people keep seeing it?
It's Thursday night. It's out tonight.
But she's on the East Coast. Saw it yesterday. Okay, but I saw tweets.
Yeah, no,
this
I think I did. I think I did see someone. I saw and know saw it yesterday.
I saw
the
so
movies
many
are coming out
that people
earlier
like,
and earlier. Sometimes you can see movies at like midnight on Thursday. Whatever. No, but my cousin saw it and really, really liked it and apparently cried.
I'm excited. Wait.
My beef is that my sickness came back, and as a result, I haven't been working out because I don't want to make my sickness worse, but then also I'm not exercising.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And my sickness came also after I worked a ton, which I think I talked about last week, but it was after I worked out. And I worked out pretty hard that day because it had been a rough day at work, and so I angry worked out.
She was angry. She was angry.
And then I got sick, and so I was like, what? Fuck.
You know what my other juice is? You're done now. You know what my other juice is?
I am.
Attenzione, pickpocket! Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, I only learned about it like yesterday, but there's this woman, there's this Italian woman who walks around Italy and gets mad at pickpockets. And she goes, attenzione, pickpocket! And she yells at them.
I love her.
And so people use the audio when their cats are like stealing food
on
their plates. It's attenzione, pickpocket!
I cannot believe y'all.
So funny.
Kayla, not Kayla, people of the internet listening to us. Kayla didn't know about The Missile Is Very Tired.
I have no idea. I still don't know. I didn't watch the
video. You didn't watch it right now.
Okay. I was in a restaurant, so I couldn't just, okay.
I was quoting it at Hatter, and she was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I literally was so confused. Okay, I'll watch it. Oh, hold on.
The Missile is very tired. He is eepy. The Missile has had a very long day of splashing bandits and wants to take just a small sleeve. Eeby and Neebies to Sleepy. Mibsile Sleepy and need bed by time. The Missile is currently experiencing critical levels of being a sleevegy little guy and needs to go to bed. He is retired and needs to sleep. Just a little sleeging time is a treat. Mibsile Lele needs to sleck. Retired boyo. Just a little guy. Mibsipali Bile needs his beady sleep. Look at him go. He yawned bib because he's skeegee. Needs to falafel asleep. Nini time. Good night, Mr. The Missile.
Okay. My biggest takeaway from this video is the deep breathing happening between every sentence. Have you noticed?
I have not noticed that.
Just the between every. Okay, well now can just I play you attenzione pickpocket?
Sure.
Attenzione pickpocket. Attenzione borseggiatrice.
I love that.
Attenzione pickpocket.
Anyway, so
and
everyone
whole
should,
account is just
yelling at pickpockets.
Yes,
good.
And now people have started to recognize her on the streets.
Attenzione pickpocket lady.
But now she's mad because people are using the audio for political reasons, and she's like, "I'm just," or people pretending to be pickpockets. She means the cats. I scream to warn citizens and tourists that people are circulating who are part of a criminal organization. So stop misusing the audio, but also don't. It's so funny.
Yeah, and also if you don't know, the missile is very tired.
I need you to go back and rewatch that video and pay attention to the breathing.
Okay,
sound,
I will.
It's concerning to
Well,
because be
it's been going around. People are just, it's a lot of cat videos, just like people are putting cat videos and photos
get
with it. But the original.
A lot more animal content.
I specifically get a lot more cat content because our friend Miranda and also my roommate send me cat content.
Yeah.
And so then I will get more and then I will also send it to them. And so it's just
a
like a, it's a circle.
A cycle.
Yeah. But you know what? The internet is for cats, and it always has been.
So true.
But yeah, no, the original, if you go to that TikTok audio, like, the original video is just, like, a missile in a sleeping cap in a bed.
That's very good.
The missile is just a little sleepy guy The missile is very tired from splashing bandits and needs just a little sleep. Anyway, you can tell us about your beef, your juice, your neighborhood missile.
Your pickpocket!
I hope you don't have a neighborhood missile. If you live in a place that has a neighborhood missile, I'm very sorry. Really sorry. But you can tell us about those things on our social media at SoundsFakePod. We also have Patreons, patrons. They give us money for some reason. Thank you so much. That's so kind of you. Our $5 patrons. Them.
We're pickpocketing them. We are the pickpocket.
Our $5 patrons who we are putting this week are Cinnamon Toast Punch, who I believe in Discord said that they changed their level, and I guess that's why they got forgotten or something. I don't know. Claire Olson, Colleen Walsh, Doug Rice, and Edward Hayes Holgate. We also have two new $5 patrons. They are Morgan Impink. Morgan, I'm pink. How often do you get that? Do you get that a lot? It's
every day, probably.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. And Rebecca Monin. So thank you to both of you.
Thank you so much.
And I think you're the best. Our $10 patrons who are promoting something this week are Allison, who would like to promote Arden Gray by Ray Stiff, Arkness, who would like to promote The Trevor Project, Ben McLeod, who would like to promote Benjamin Ibarra, who would like to promote Tabletop Games. Our other $10 patrons are Thinking Deeply. They might be, for all I know. Our Boston Smith, David Harris, Derek and Carissa, Al Bitter, my Aunt Jeannie, Martin, Giselle, Purple Haze, The Perfect Backpacker, Ruby, Song of Storm. Our $15 patrons are Andrew Hillam, The Invisible Spectrum Podcast, Look for Caroline, who'd like to promote Ace of Hearts, Dia Chappelle, twitch.tv/MelodyThea, Hector Murillo, who would like to promote Friends that are supportive, constructive, and help you grow as a better person, Math, who would like to promote Catching Up on the Podcast after 2 years, and you now have a month. Just really go ham.
So much time.
Even if you just do one episode a week, I mean, that's four more episodes that you've caught up on. It's just like normal. Nathaniel White, who would like to promote NathanielJWhiteDesigns.com, and Kayla's Aunt Nina, who would like to promote KateMeyerArt.com. Our $20 patron is Dragonfly, who would like to promote Staying Cool. It is really hot, like, everywhere.
Oh, it's everywhere. Hot. Like, it's so hot.
We keep, like, breaking records of, like, hottest day on ever in the world that we have
the
recorded.
SSRI girlies are struggling this summer.
I heard about in Arizona the other day, it was like the 20th consecutive day of being over 110 or 115. Nope. And you know what the low was at night?
In like 90?
97.
There's a man who does an annual run through Death Valley.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
With a full costume on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
A full Darth Vader costume with the helmet.
How is he not dying?
This year, because he was recovering from an injury, his mile was 10 minutes. His record, which was 2 years ago, is 6 minutes.
Oh my God. Wait, how far does he run?
I think maybe just a mile.
That's not that bad. I was thinking he was running a long
over
distance.
100 degrees in a full black costume.
I mean, that's a lot. Well, I'm just thinking in the context of, like, I'm thinking of, like, GR mom Jen from The Golden Ratio. She runs super marathons, and she lives in the Florida Keys.
I'd rather die.
So she has had to run very long distances in very hot and very humid. And I cannot believe she does that to herself on purpose.
She doesn't have to. Let's change the wording. You said she has to. She doesn't. She doesn't.
Someday her butt won't hurt, but today is not that day. She sings that song sometimes. Her butt always hurts.
Oh.
She has a butt problem. Oh. She injured her butt.
Well,
like months and months ago.
Maybe if she didn't run like that, we'd all be fine.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Tune in not next Sunday, not the following Sunday, not the following Sunday, maybe the following on August 27th.
Yeah.
For more of us in your ears, enjoy your break, everyone, and stay cool. And
have a good summer. And until then, take good care of your cows.
Keep them cool, too. They're really hot.
Give them a kiss.
Give them a little bit of water.
Attenzione, pickpocket!